The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but isn't Christianity every bit as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than militant Islam? Well, one might think so if they get duped into believing that Chris Matthews is any kind of accurate source. Chris Matthews, host of MSNBC's Hardball, said last week on his own show, "The real irony is that the group in America which most resembles the Taliban is the religious right." Really, Matthews? Well, I'll tell you what. Since making outrageous statements seems to be the only way you can get a point across, I'll assume that hearing an outrageous statement is the only way to help you listen. So I'll make an outrageous statement myself. However, outrageous though it may be, every word is absolutely true. Here we go. Matthews, your comment was irresponsible, infantile, unfair, dishonest, and cowardly. Are American Christians pushing for a theocracy? If so, why do most of them ally themselves with the Republicans who work for less government? Can you name one prominent evangelical leader who calls upon Christians to do suicide bombings and calls upon Christians to do beheadings? Never mind the Crusades, which happened 1,000 years ago. We always have to go back 1,000 years. We are talking about today, since you claim that this was a group in America today. Can you name one verse in the New Testament which commands Christians to kill in the name of Christ? And what about American Muslims, including organizations like CARE, the so-called moderate groups who've been caught diverting funds to terrorist organizations such as Hamas? Oh, I don't suppose American Muslims resemble the Taliban in any way, shape, or form. Are Christian women murdered by their fathers when they convert to another religion? You probably wouldn't want to comment on the honor killing we witnessed this week when a Muslim father in Phoenix ran over his 20-year-old daughter in a car because she was becoming too westernized. I guess that doesn't remind you of the Taliban at all, does it, Chris? But then, if you made such a comment, your own life might just be in danger, right? So why do you feel free to verbally attack Christians without fearing your life, but you don't seem to be free to talk about Muslims? Could it be that deep in your heart, you know you have nothing to fear from Christians and that in our PC world, it's open season on evangelicals? Are you catching on? Chris Matthews, I challenge you to debate this subject. Now, you've probably never heard of me, and it's doubtful that my local radio show will come your way, but in the unlikely event that somebody does bring it to your attention, my offer is sincere. I have debated many, and I would love, to debate you, but not on Hardball. Will you ask your guests a question, then interrupt them before three words come out of their mouths? I mean a real debate. Have you ever heard of a real debate? Has a moderator, has guaranteed equal time for both opponents. Now, you can choose not to debate, but if that is your decision, I hope you will also pipe down on this subject. Your loud, obnoxious statements are unsupportable propaganda. They do not even remotely resemble intellectual thought. You may feel clever when you make these smug, safe comments about Christians free of any risk, but you are only mistaking arrogance for wittiness, and it makes you look like a fool to anybody who has truly studied the religions of Islam and Christianity. Now, last week, I talked on the show about Matthew's other irresponsible comment, his gleeful prediction of Rush Limbaugh's death based upon misinformation about Rush being a racist. Bo Snerdly, call screener for Rush Limbaugh and himself an African-American, wrote a blog last week in which he took the NFL and the race baiters to task over the way his good friend Limbaugh had been treated. One might have thought the very fact that he and Rush were close friends and co-workers for many, many years would have told us long ago that Limbaugh does not seem to have any genuine problem with African Americans. This whole thing ought to be a no-brainer, but then, since when did brains have anything to do with political correctness? Well, you don't find too much political correctness on Fox News, which is probably why Obama wishes they would just go away. When asked by NBC's Savannah Guthrie about comments his own spokespeople have been making about Fox News, Obama said, "It's not something I'm losing sleep over." Really, Mr. President? You're not losing any sleep over Fox News? Then why did you have White House senior advisor David Axelrod go on television and declare that Fox is not a real news station? Why did you have White House communications director Anita Dunn insist without a shred of evidence that Fox takes its talking points from the Republican Party? Why did you have White House chief of staff Rahm Emanuel warn all other news entities not to report anything they hear on Fox News? Could it be because you are about to bail out newspapers, such as the New York Times, so that they can continue licking your boots? Could this be a veiled threat that if they don't play ball and let you control them, like you control the banks, like you control the auto industries whom you also bailed out, that they might just have to sink into oblivion? Could it be that Fox concerns you because they're the only ones examining your Marxist czars and your racist friends and your terrorist associates and your illegally trafficking supportive organizations like Acorn? Mr. President, I think Fox does keep you up at nights. That's what I think. I think you make plans round the clock to shut them down or defile their name. They are, after all, one of the few news organizations doing their job to ask tough questions and keep our country free from the rise of unchecked power. In this same interview, President Obama also claimed that Fox News is no different than talk radio. Oh, really, Mr. President? And what about MSNBC? Did Chris Matthews sound like he was on talk radio for claiming one of your speeches sent a chill up his leg in the middle of your campaign? How about his cheap comment comparing Christians to the Taliban? Does Keith Olbermann sound like he's on talk radio when he gives out his Idiot of the Week award, generally by an amazing coincidence, to some conservative commentator whom he does not agree with? Oh, wait, I forgot. How silly and careless of me. When news editorial shows agree with Obama, they are not like talk radio. They're only like talk radio when they disagree with Obama. Mr. President, maybe your time would be better served by continuing to fight the war on terrorism and discontinuing this crusade against people who object to your policies. Not everybody is going to faint every time you give a lecture. After all, this is still America, at least for another 5 or 10 minutes. But don't you worry, Fox News. You're not the only ones thereafter. With the help of his new internet czar, Susan Crawford, Obama will now set about to take control of the internet. There is already a bill working its way through Congress to give him such power during a time of emergency. But just in case he doesn't want to wait that long, they have come up with another idea. Crawford, who has ties to both Acorn and the One Web Day Project, says about the internet, and I quote, "We should do a better job as a nation of making sure fast, affordable broadband is as ubiquitous as electricity, water, snail mail, or any other public utility." In other words, some of that stimulus package that helped out the banks and helped out the auto industry will now disperse funds which make the internet more accessible to those who cannot afford to pay for an internet provider. But folks, as we have already seen, once the government throws their gold coins any direction, they become a partial owner and they feel entitled to attach regulations like Christmas lights on a purse string. And by an amazing coincidence, One Web Day Project lists Free Press as a participating organization. You ever hear of Free Press? Well, it's anything but free. Free Press was founded by self-professed Marxist Robert McKenzie. Sheesh, another Marxist? Another Marxist? They're crawling out of the wood like cockroaches. McKenzie recently said over a website called Socialist Project, and I quote, "Instead of waiting for the revolution to happen, we learned that unless you make significant changes in the media, it will be vastly more difficult to have a revolution." Concurrently, Obama's other czar, Mark Lloyd, wants FCC regulations for more diversity on the radio. It's time to start connecting the dots, people. Once the government runs the internet, they will complain that we do not have enough diversity over the World Wide Web, just as we hear too much conservative chit-chat over the airwaves. Now, honestly, let's think for a moment. Can you think of anything, and I mean anything, more diverse than the internet right now? Politics run the gamut of blogs like townhall.com to moveon.org. They go from right to left as far and as much of a degree as you can possibly imagine. On the web, you can find every conceivable opinion about religion, film, culture, sports, fishing, boating, sex, kitchen patterns, pets, 17th century British embroidery. And we need more diversity? That's only code for diversity which respects different people groups, which is only code for we must not offend certain people, which is only code for it will be against the law to say anything that is not politically correct, or more accurately put, anything Obama does not want us to say. The man doesn't care about sensitivity. The man doesn't care about combating offensive words as much as he cares about power. The major newspapers are not enough. Every television news network except Fox is not enough. PBS, paid for by your tax dollars, is not enough. Our president does not want to be criticized anywhere at all, period. That's it. And if he has to flush out the last bastion of free speech like a bloodhound on a fox hunt, well, saddle up, czars. Obama's proposed laws are designed around diversity, the way submarines were designed to explore creeks. But you don't have to actually be an Obama czar to represent the Obama administration. As I already mentioned, White House Communications Director Anita Dunn was all over the tube last week for challenging the integrity of Fox News. President Obama may regret the tactic of using this woman. A video recently surfaced that has destroyed all her credibility. Ms. Dunn is now on record claiming that her two favorite philosophers are Mother Teresa and Mao Zedong. She made those comments at the St. Andrews Episcopal High School commencement in June, but she probably never gambled on Glenn Beck getting a hold of the video. Wow. Yeah. Mother Teresa and Mao Zedong. I get those two mixed up all the time. Now, they're not completely identical. It is possible to make some distinction. We can do a little bit of the old compare contrast. For example, Mother Teresa dedicated her life to helping people, and Chairman Mao dedicated his life to killing people. In point of fact, the man slaughtered some 34 million, but then praising communist socialist philosophy seems to be fashionable today if you want to sound extra cool and intellectually progressive. Some are so caught up in the euphoria that they quickly, blindly leapfrog over those finer, minute little details called facts. If Anita Dunn does not know what a butcher Mao Zedong was, if instead she resonates with him merely for his Karl Marx-type wealth redistribution views, then she is not qualified for public office. If she does know, then she herself is an abomination. But then, the more we learn about our current president's appointees, the more Obama-nations we find. No, I'm not original in coining that term, but gosh, it sure gets more and more appropriate every day, doesn't it? For over a year, a debate has been growing amongst conservatives about these Obama nations, and I'll tell you what that debate is all about when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
For over a year, a debate has been growing amongst conservatives about the Obama administration. Now, of course, there's much we agree on. We agree that the people surrounding Obama are dangerous, ranging from downright terrorists and bigots like Bill Ayers and Reverend Wright to the plethora of socialist philosophers and self-avowed, self-confessed Marxists who decorate his house of czars. The question on the table is this: do these people represent Obama's honest look at the world, or has the vetting process been sloppy? Now, I appreciate the tendency to give our president the benefit of the doubt. I have done so myself in the past, always feeling really skeptical, but wanting to have a sense of fair play. Having said that, the time has come to admit the obvious. I do not believe Obama's friends, associates, czars, or cabinet appointments got over the fence by accident. I am convinced he already knew every single solitary thing they stood for. Indeed, that is just exactly why they were hired. They may come across like the nuttiest, scariest kooks you ever witnessed, and Obama's own persona may seem tame by comparison, but it should interest you to know that in his biography, he admitted and explained exactly what is going on. He told us in his own words how radical acquaintances and colleagues felt they needed a nicer-looking, gentler-sounding face as a more effective courier to their revolutionary message. Yes, people, Obama himself told us the truth long ago. Even though he now tries to cut ties when a czar or two reveal their true intentions a little more quickly than scheduled and drive down his approval rating, even as I remind you of Obama's confession on record, you may still have trouble believing that this nightmare is real and not merely a form of REM sleep that we will soon happily awaken from. How can a president, with any sense, surround himself with such radicals, you ask yourself? The answer is actually quite simple. In his mind, they are not radical, right? These are the people he grew up with. These are the people who educated him. These are his fellow students. These are his friends. This is the world Obama knows. This is the mainstream to him. It is the opposing worldviews that look foreign to him. In President Obama's mind, they are the normal ones, not us. They have the high ground on morality, not us. Yes, Obama was aware that many in our country would not accept Boris or Natasha, but the election evidently gave him a swelled head and delusions of godhood. I believe the man after this election thought he could get away with anything, even force-feeding our country what it doesn't want, but what he and his buds in their arrogance know we need. The time has come to confront reality head on. There is nothing wrong with the Obama administration's vetting process, but there is plenty wrong with the Obama administration's objectives. If you would like to weigh in on any of this, you can reach us two ways. First of all, on the phone, 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach me by email, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Vicky writes, Obama thinks we still believe his lying word. I'm afraid he lied and has broken his promise one time too many. Actually, I realized when Obama was a smooth-talking, clever senator talking his way into the White House with his false gift of gab. Informed minds know that the prez didn't win because of accomplishments, nor was his resume impressive. The rookie lucked out and won by default, even when it was learned he had past relationships with anti-American friends. Now you know the rest of his song and dance spin. His so-called change is for the worst, and the hope promised now gone. No doubt the dependent pushovers who believe what they want to, not the reality, will continue to give their King Obama the benefit of any doubt. The arrogant, misguided president would moon the dense Obamacants, I like that term, instead of Democrats, Obamacants, and they would still elect him. Ha! Now, regarding my comments about Chris Matthews and my comment about Obama and Fox News, both comments, Evie in San Diego writes, bravo on both. Well, I appreciate the encouraging words, Evie. Concerning the blog version of my comments on Chris Matthews claiming that Christians in America resemble the Taliban, Mike in Champaign, Illinois writes, good article on Matthews. If I didn't believe in spiritual warfare, guys like him and the entire Obama administration would make a believer out of me. It's incredible how ignorant or evil, or it's incredible how ignorant or evil these people can be when talking about the Lord and his people. Granted, evangelicalism is hardly synonymous with the people of God. We lag way behind the standard, but nonetheless, everything you wrote is true, and any with a shred of integrity, honesty, or scholarship could see it. It would be great if he would debate you. You should send your column to MSNBC and other media outlets with the challenge. Thanks and blessings, Mike. You are listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And we do have somebody on the line. We have Carlos. Let's go ahead to the phones, Cameron. We have Carlos from Mira Mesa. Carlos, welcome to our program.
Hi, Mr. Bob.
Carlos, we're having a lot of trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, but I'm stopped, and I think I can hear you fine.
Okay, well, go ahead, and just stay in the same place, and we'll go ahead and take your cellular call.
All right. I just wanted to let you know that you're saying so many truths, so many things that we all need to hear, and not just from one person like Glenn Beck, but from people like you. It is so important. I was born in a country in Chile where socialism is everyday thing, and all the things that are going on here in America right now, as we speak, I've seen it, and they're not good things. And American people, the American culture, doesn't realize what they're getting into with these Obama changes. The American culture has lived in a bubble, and if they ever get to see and experience socialism, they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it.
You know, I really appreciate your comments, Carlos. They're right on. Not too long ago, a woman who grew up in Romania, a very different country from yours, but she made the exact same observation. She fled to America to escape that kind of government, and she feels like she's going back through time watching it all happen again. And she wonders what kind of fools we are in America for just sitting back and watching our freedoms stripped away at us an inch at a time.
So much. And please keep it up.
Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate the encouraging words, and call us again.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care, Carlos. Let's lighten things up a little bit. Sometimes we have to talk about mundane subjects as well. We've done a lot of serious things. I'm going to lighten it up by talking about hamburgers when we get back. Now, what profound thing could Bob say about a hamburger? You just watch me. I love hamburgers. I don't love the experience I got when I tried to buy a hamburger the other day. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Of my program, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, but sometimes I can't resist talking about culture, even when it has nothing to do with Christianity. And what could be more unique to American culture than hamburgers? Although technically they were invented in Germany, they've kind of become an American food. But you just have to love these drive-through hamburger joints, such as Wendy's or Jack in the Box. The idea of a drive-through was that you're supposed to get your food quicker. Well, the other day, my car was behind a mother with a van and a couple of kids. That's never a good sign if you're behind a mother with a van and a couple of kids at a hamburger place. Never a good sign. And I kid you not, it took her some 15 minutes to order. This is because her order was a special one, and she wanted to make very certain that all the subtle nuances of her food order were clear. Now, you know the kind of thing I'm talking about. Two number ones, but on the first one, hold the tomato and hold the mayo, but extra lettuce, please, and two pickles. Now, on the second, we want the tomato and the mayo, and yes, also extra lettuce, but no ketchup or mustard on that one. Then instead of a small soda, we want two medium milkshakes, one of them chocolate, the other half chocolate and half strawberry. Can we do that? Can we do half chocolate, half strawberry? Then we'll also have a number two, only I don't want it as a cheeseburger, just a hamburger. I know it's supposed to be a bacon cheeseburger, but I can't eat cheese due to allergies. I have these really, really bad allergies. I do want the bacon, though, which is why I'm still ordering a number two. But could you only put in one piece? Because honestly, I won't eat two pieces of bacon. Then, let's see. What kinds of diet drinks do you have? Oh, never mind the diet. Just give me a Mountain Dew. And then can I exchange the fries for onion rings? Oh, extra napkins and 5 packs of salt. Of course, this well-thought-out discourse is being relayed over a microphone to a clerk who doesn't speak a word of English anyway. The ambitious customer could have been ordering one cup of coffee for all the difference it made. And that's the latest from Bob's experience with a park-through hamburger joint. But if hamburgers are part of American culture, they run a close second to movies. Coming soon to a theater near you, the fantastic cinematic event entitled 2012. Now, that movie may have come out this weekend. I'm not sure. If not this weekend, next weekend. The only thing I am sure about is I have not seen it. I've seen previews of it. I have not seen it. It is a film about the end of the world due to the Earth's crust cracking. The Earth's crust cracking. Ouch. That's got a smart. Oh, I almost forgot. This cataclysm coincides with some prediction from an ancient Mayan calendar. Golly, in as much as this is a Hollywood production, you don't suppose the end of the world in this movie will have anything to do with global warming, do you? Nah, perhaps not. Then again, somehow I just can't imagine the dramatic twist being anything else. You might recall I gave that same prediction for the ending of the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. To this day, I have not seen that horrible retread because I loved the original, so I refused to see the horrible retread. You know, folks, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But those who did see the movie confirmed my prediction that I did both over the air and on my blog. They confirmed my prediction that this time the visiting aliens would not be chastising the world about war and would instead lecture us about global warming. Evidently, the film came across as a sequel to Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. So now I'm going to make the exact same prediction for 2012 because Hollywood has not changed a whole lot in the last couple of years. It'll be another global warming lesson. Oh, probably we'll also hear about what a superior culture the Mayans were to Western cultures, with all talk about Mayan human sacrifices to their gods being conspicuously omitted, of course. One has to wonder how many people today believe in global warming and Western bad guys as a result of stupid movies rather than honest-to-goodness facts. One also craves for the day when Hollywood, ideology notwithstanding, will simply get creative again. Meanwhile, Walt Disney has started advertising his new movie, The Princess and the Frog. It sounds kind of funny when we say Walt Disney has started advertising his new movie. Walt Disney's been dead since the year, I believe it was 1967 when he died. And yet, of course, he was the pioneer. He would probably turn in his grave to look at some of the movies they've cranked out in his name. But the way we all say it, and who am I to be different from anybody else? So the way I'll say it too is Walt Disney has started advertising his new movie, The Princess and the Frog. And so being on a roll, I am now going to predict, and I don't know, but I am going to predict the ending to The Princess and the Frog. And you know the old fairy tale where the princess kisses the frog and he becomes a handsome prince. My prediction is this. Instead of the frog becoming a handsome prince, the princess will learn to not be so human-centric and will instead opt to become a frog herself permanently. They'll live happily ever after as frogs rather than people. After all, frogs are every bit as beautiful and every bit as valuable as people, and it's only our own racist anthropomorphic thinking that would make us feel otherwise. This would be similar to the ending of Shrek, which I also predicted. Now look, when I make these guesses, you know I do not mean to brag about my prophetic skills. I have no prophetic skills. It's just that Hollywood has gotten that predictable and that politically correct. Well, last week, we ended right in the middle of a story. Bumper music came on, show had to go off because we have hard breaks here at KCBQ. And I was right in the middle of a story as I was tying up a series, and this was the very last thing I had to say about The Will of God, a series that we've been doing for several weeks. And I was in the middle of a story about when I first went into full-time campus ministry, fresh out of college, and they had me do a two-year internship at Arizona State University. I had grown up in San Jose. I had been born in Miami Beach. I had gotten the beach coast to coast. San Jose is not on the coast, but it's only 45 minutes away. And you drive over the lush, beautiful redwood forest-filled Santa Cruz Mountains to get there. I loved the ocean, but I had always kind of taken the ocean for granted. Oh, boy, you will learn to stop taking the beach for granted when you live in Arizona for 2 years. I never knew it could get so hot. I mean, it was sometimes 120 degrees in the shade. You could literally take a hamburger, throw it on the pavement of a sidewalk, and watch it fry. I never experienced it. It was dry heat. It wasn't that horrible humidity like they have on the East Coast. But what I really missed, what I really craved, was the ocean. After 2 years, I did grow to appreciate the desert a little bit. They have the most beautiful, spectacular sunsets you've ever seen. But the sunset's a very small part of the day, isn't it? The rest of the day, you just have to live in that ugly, ugly-laced desert. And I did hear that they had a place up there called Big Surf. It was a wave-making machine. They have a lot of them now. They didn't have a lot back in those days, so I was really anxious to go to it. My wife said, "You're going to be disappointed. Nothing's going to look like the ocean but the ocean." Well, yeah, it didn't look like the ocean. It looked like a giant toilet bowl. They should have changed the name from Big Surf to Big Flush. Just made me miss the ocean more. And so you got to understand, this was a two-year internship. And the way this organization worked, first Christian organization I ever worked for, Campus Ambassadors, which does ministry to college students, you would do a two-year internship under an established ministry. Then they'd send you out as kind of a pioneer and you'd start a ministry of your own. So that meant I was only going to be banished to the Arizona desert for 2 years. And after that, I would get to go somewhere else. Well, I started dreaming of Santa Barbara because they had an opening in Santa Barbara. Can you imagine what it felt like to know that I was going to get to leave Arizona and move to Santa Barbara? I'll tell you what happened.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Back to the Bob Stevens Show. 2 years living in Arizona will make you miss California. And this campus ministry that I had just finished my internship in was offering an opportunity to start a new ministry, but you had to do it in conjunction with a host church. And not every host church had invited campus ministries, which meant that not every city in the United States was open. But I had grown up near the ocean, and Santa Barbara, where I had never lived before, but which was a beautiful city that I'd passed through many times along the famous Highway 101, did have an opening. Well, I craved it. For 2 years living in Arizona, I dreamed about moving to Santa Barbara, and my employers, my bosses, my staff workers, they knew this. Well, I sat down with Larry, my superior, my supervisor, and he said to me, "Well, we have two openings." He says, one of them is in Santa Barbara. He says, the other one is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, not only is New Mexico also the desert, but it's desert that doesn't even look as pretty as Arizona's desert. I actually thought Larry was kidding. Seriously, I thought he was. I said, cut it out, Larry, Albuquerque. And he goes, I'm serious. And I went, oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess we could consider that and pray about that. He says, well, what do you think? I said, well, you know, I mean, in my opinion, Larry, campus ministry is campus ministry. I do feel called to be out on a college campus, but I've been to college and I've visited many campuses. And I find, Larry, that no matter what campus I'm on, the students ask the same questions and they have the same concerns about Christianity. And the ministry is the same and the goal is the same and the project is the same. Now, if you could show me why I'm needed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, rather than UC Santa Barbara, okay, I'll go. But all things being equal, I just as soon live in Santa Barbara. Now, I know I'm giving you a very unspiritual response. I was just thinking about the ocean. But it's like that. Now, we talked about that in our series, that sometimes God can call you to a certain kind of ministry, but he may leave it up to you where to live. Or he might tell you where to live. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. But he hadn't told me anything other than that he had designed me to do campus ministry. So Larry says to me, wanting to sound spiritual himself, shall I go to the board and tell them you feel called to Santa Barbara? I says, Larry, I don't know if that's where I'm called. I know that's where I want to live. I wanted to be honest. All right, they let me go to Santa Barbara. Now, I got out there, and I want you to know, I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong about college campuses. I could not possibly have been more wrong. There is a 100% difference from one campus to another. Some campuses are commuter campuses. Others are campuses where they're more live-in, they're more dorms. Santa Barbara was a dorm campus, and those that lived outside of the dorms lived in this college community called Isla Vista, right off campus and by the ocean. Beautiful, but loud, rowdy community. It was a party school. But it was a school where if you led one person to Christ, 10 other friends were coming to your meeting the next week to check you out, make sure you're not some kind of nutbag cult. It was a campus that had the greatest, most popular religious studies department in the country. But it was liberal religious studies, blasphemy 401, heresy 308. They had a huge drama major. I had been a drama major. I was tailor-made for Santa Barbara. But how did God get me there? He lured me with the ocean, like the sirens. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da, look, Bob, the ocean. There's a proverb which says, the mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What a testimony to the sovereignty of God. He used the desire of where I want to live to take me where he wanted me to go anyway. There was a difference. Had I known about those differences, I might have wanted to go to that campus despite the ocean. Luckily, I got to live by the ocean anyway. Now, that doesn't mean we ever get a real free lunch. They have tar on those beaches. Have you ever visited a beach in Santa Barbara? And I'm a body surfer, not surfer, but I body surf religiously. And boy, I'd go jogging or I'd go body surf and I'd come back and there'd be tar on my chest. I have a hairy chest and there'd be tar on my feet. I got into this ritual of coming home every day, taking out the Vaseline and wiping the tar off my feet. For almost 2 years after I moved to San Diego, I still kept checking my feet for tar, even though we don't have tar on our beaches here. Okay, well, now we're going to begin a new series, which will start today and continue next week. And that is the reputation that Christians have. Christians have a horrible reputation today, but that's because perception can sometimes be inaccurate. Often, perception is not reality. Have you ever, speaking of perception, have you ever heard the story of the guy who needed a job? He's looking through the want ads. A lot of you may relate to this in this nutty economy. A lot of you are probably looking for a job. See if you'd be willing to take a job like this. Guy's looking through the want ads, and he sees that the zoo is hiring. So he's never worked at a zoo before, but he goes down there and says, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to be a janitor? Do you want me to be a zookeeper? I don't have any background in zoology. They said, well, no, it's kind of a unique job. Now, we have to tell you, it pays pretty well, but it's a job you may not want. He goes, all right, well, tell me what it is. He goes, well, our gorilla just passed away, and we only had one gorilla. We can't afford another one, but we have fashioned a really accurate, authentic-looking gorilla suit. If you put this gorilla suit on and you don't talk, people will think you're a real gorilla. Your job, if you want to accept it, is to simply put on this gorilla suit and sit in the cage all day. Now, the reason people might not want this job is it's going to be pretty boring sitting in a cage and letting people stare at you all day. He says, well, I tell you, I've been out of work for 6 months. I got to do something. I will take the job. So he put on the gorilla suit, and for a day or two, it was all right. If anything, it seemed like an easy buck. He sat around. But by the third day, he was bored out of his gourd. So he finally decided to just break things up a little bit. He started up on the trapeze. He started swinging himself. Put his hands on the trapeze, started swinging, doing a few flips. He'd taken a few acrobatics in school. And the crowd just loved it. They loved it. But he had been told that if anybody in that crowd ever discovered that this was a human being in the cage and not a gorilla, the jig would be up and his job would be over. Well, he's swinging, and he notices that the higher he swings, the more the crowd cheers. So then he swings higher, and the crowd cheers more. And he swings even higher, and the crowd cheers more. And then he goes so high, he actually tails right over the entrance of the cage and into the cage adjacent to his, and he lands in the lion cage. And the lion cage starts walking toward him. Now, gorillas are pretty well built, and some people wouldn't be too concerned if a lion and a gorilla got into a fight. But this guy wasn't a gorilla. He was a human being, and animals can sense things. And the lion started coming toward him, and he starts thinking, if I cry out and I yell help, then my job is over because they'll know I'm a human. But if I don't yell help, I'll lose my life. All right, it's my life or my job. So he cries out, help! Somebody help me! The lion says, shut up, you idiot. You're trying to get us all fired? You see, perception is not always reality. We'll be right back. Good projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Oso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Oso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Oso Miller Pacific. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
If you are a Christian today, you have the following reputation. Maybe people have not gotten to know you, but you call yourself a Christian, they assume the following. They assume you are stupid. They assume you are racist. They assume you are homophobic. Not just that you think homosexuality is wrong, you're somehow homophobic. A homophobic is either somebody who's afraid of homosexuals or afraid he himself is going to become a homosexual. They believe you're chauvinistic if you're a Christian. They believe you're behind the times if you're a Christian. And they believe you are as willing to force your religion down people's throats as the Muslims, and you're willing to do it with brute violence. How did we get here historically? Why do people believe lies about Christianity? Well, for one thing, the Bible tells us we're involved in a spiritual warfare. There is this entity, this spirit who's not God. He was once a good entity. He rebelled against God. His name is Satan. And when Jesus was talking to some people who believed in some false religion in his day, in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said to them, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire." He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I'm going to go through a series of lies, which Satan, in his own philosophy, interjecting it into the world's philosophy, has sold to this world. Lies that the evil one has sold the world. Lie one, all religions are equally beautiful. Or another way people sometimes put it, all religions are right. Did you know that when somebody says all religions are right, what they mean is all religions are wrong? They don't say it that way. They may not even consciously think it that way, but think about this. When somebody says all religions are right, you can say, well, wait a minute. What if two religions contradict? The Hindu says that tree is God. The Christian says, no, according to the Bible, God made the tree. God and the universe are not one and the same. God is not the rain and the thunder. God made the rain and the thunder. You could not possibly have more of an opposite view of God. And you know what the person will say? They say, well, it doesn't matter. What matters is what works for you. What matters is what you choose to believe. And when they say that, they reveal that they're assuming that these religions don't have anything to do with truth anyway. It's just a comforting fantasy. So pick the one you want. But all religions are right means all religions are wrong. They can't all be right. They can't all be true if they contradict each other. And they do contradict each other. And all religions are not good, and all religions are not beautiful. Look at some of these ancient religions. At the time of the Israelites, and I always hear this, why did God tell the Israelites to go and attack these other countries? You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. Because these other countries were evil. They took babies and offered them on the altar to their gods. Baal was one such god. Molech was another such god. That is evil. Now, you're going to go back and tell me that offering your baby on the altar to God, offering a human sacrifice, that's as good and as pure of a religion as, say, the Puritans or the Amish who live in Pennsylvania? Give me a break. Now, today, the religion that's growing very quickly and is talked about a lot because it's in the news is Islam. And to say that the Quran is a book that commands people to kill, when I make that statement, people say that is an outrageous thing to say. You know what? You're absolutely right. It is an outrageous thing to say. But what I'm saying happens to be the truth. The reason it sounds outrageous is I am accurately describing an outrageous religion. Now, I know that there are some peaceful Muslims in the world. I won't get into all that again, but the peaceful Muslims are not reading their own book. In their own book, Muhammad, in the name of Allah, commands jihad, commands that people convert or die so that Islam can take over the world. I'm not making that up. I'm just going by what the Muslims themselves say. I'm going by what their own Quran says. I'm going by what Muhammad taught and did. What they'd have you to believe today is, oh, no, the only reason there's violence in the name of Islam is because of Israel's illegal occupation of Palestine. If the Arabs were offered a Palestinian state of their own, then we wouldn't have any problem. Let me tell you something. In 1948, when the United Nations partitioned the land, the Arabs were offered a state of their own. They turned it down because they did not want a two-state solution. They wanted Israel to not exist. Why? Because Israel is not a Muslim country, period. But Satan is much better liar than to merely lie about other religions. He lies to us about our own religion, too. It began when his beliefs of the church were compromised, and that leads to lie, too. Lie, too, is that we can automatically know what churches believe just because of their denomination. Not so. At the turn of the 20th century, almost every denomination had a split, and there was a liberal and a fundamentalist variety. The liberals were pastors who were saying, well, we want to be modern. We want to be with it. We want to be rational. We want to be with the times. We no longer believe in miracles. We no longer believe Christ rose from the dead. It doesn't make any sense to us. Not all of them, but many of them. And instead of just admitting that they didn't believe in the Bible anymore, this Bible that they grew up in, because we were pretty much a Protestant country at the time, this Bible that they grew up in, they said, well, we'll just reinterpret it. So they said, stick with us and we'll tell you what the Bible truly believes. Here's an example of something they reinterpret. You go to just pick one of Jesus' miracles, the miracle of Jesus multiplying the fish and the loaves. They go, well, we know that Jesus couldn't have taken one fish and one loaf and made thousands of loaves and fish out of it. I mean, come on. We're living at the turn of the 20th century. But what probably happened is that day Jesus shared his lunch to a hungry crowd. He shared his lunch with one person, and that was so inspiring that everybody else shared their lunch, and it was beautiful, and it brought a tear to people's eye, and then they sang Kumbaya afterwards, and they joined hands, and it was kind of sort of a miracle, too, because these selfish people were now sharing their lunch, and that's the true interpretation of the scripture. Why don't they just come out and admit that they don't believe in the Bible? Well, you had another group called the fundamentalists who wanted to hold on to the fundamentals of their faith, such as the Bible does tell us we need to be saved through Jesus. There is such a thing as a sin nature. The idea of sin is not behind the times. The idea of miracles are not behind the times, and they're not anti-intellectual because maybe God does some things with science that we don't understand. If science has shown us one thing, is that frequently what we thought is impossible becomes very impossible. So that's lie two, that we automatically know what churches believe just because of their denomination doesn't mean anything of the sort. Depends on whether it's a conservative Lutheran or a liberal Lutheran. Depends on whether it's a conservative Baptist or a liberal Baptist. I know the term liberal Baptist sounds like an oxymoron, but there's a whole denomination called the American Baptists, and they're liberal. There's liberal Catholics and conservative Catholics. There's liberal Presbyterians and conservative Presbyterians. That leads to lie three, and this one is really drummed into people's little heads today. America is not a Christian country. Not true. Now, I granted, some of the confusion is because it depends on what part of our history we start with. Before we had the United States of America, which does allow people to be whatever religion they want, America was started to be a Christian colony. The Puritans came here for religious freedom, and they expected it to be a Christian nation. As time went on, not all the Puritans were converting. Other people were coming from other countries. So we did develop a country that said you can be any religion you want. However, it was highly influenced by Christianity, with a Christian morality. And I hear all the time, well, the Constitution says separation between church and state. Separation between church and state. Those words are not found anywhere in the Constitution. Here are the words that are found. It's in the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. A couple of months ago, I had a pastor and his wife on our program. They were told that they were not even allowed to hold a Bible study in their home. And of course, they won that battle, but there are other battles going on just this week. Another couple was told they couldn't have a Bible study in their home. And we'll talk more about this next week.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.